You have a good quality pair of high boots, like really good protective boots, because you need them for day one of the SEC spring meetings in Destin. You need some good quiet, and I don't mean because of rain. I mean because some coaches are shoveling it. They are shoveling it at spring meetings in Destin. It's a brand new Village Vibe. See Zach. I'm Brad. How we doing? How much of that did you follow yesterday, Zach? Like, were you on top of the quotes coming out of spring meetings when they're going to solve the playoff debate and NIL and transfer portal and everything else?
I mean, I saw the ones that were pushed. You know, I wasn't sitting around updating, you know, trying to get every quote that came out of there, but
Yeah.
obviously watched Coach Golish, and then, you know, every media outlet in the world, you know, talked about John Sumrall's clear dig at Lane Kiffin.
Yeah.
Outside of that, Brad, I didn't see a whole lot of it.
Yeah. I thought some of what Summerall said could have been targeted, or not targeted, but applied to Auburn. Like, he made a comment about how, if you're going to tell me what terms I have to take a job on, I'm not going to take it. And some people could have taken that to mean that Auburn tried to give him certain things that had to be in place. And that was
Yeah.
one of the reasons, you know, he
Yeah,
wasn't
and
here.
I read some of the comments on that, and I think people are close on what happened there. I don't think they're
Yeah.
identical on what
Yeah.
happened there, but
Right.
clearly something happened.
I took out of the quotes yesterday three gigantic lies. Three, like, fall down laughing lies.
Okay.
Can I list those for you now? And you tell me, is this a laughable, like, is this an embarrassing, shameful lie?
Yeah,
Or do you
sure.
think there's truth in it?
Okay.
The first was from Lane Kiffin.
Shocker.
You're right. Big liar Lane Kiffin told a lie yesterday. All right. I guess I'll just kind of get into it. The first thing he said wasn't a lie. He said, this isn't a marriage that's going to last forever. Talking about him and LSU, most likely, even though you think it is, where both parties are happy, neither one wants out. You could wish it was. It's a feel-good story, but they don't happen. Rarely ever, Kiffin said. Maybe Nick Saban, a reporter interjected. And then he says, I don't even want to go into names here. Like, these are some names that you would say it happened, and I would tell you that in the coaching profession. It didn't, because right at the end, they made him retire. Lane Kiffin insinuates that Alabama made Nick Saban retire. What a crock. That's a shameless lie.
Wait, so before that, he was talking about how he and LSU aren't a
Yeah.
long-term thing
Yeah. Yeah.
in his
Yeah.
deal, like 10 years or something crazy.
Yeah. Well, but look, but that at least, like, brings some awareness, some honesty that you so
But why,
rarely.
like, it's assumed. Why say that?
Well, I don't look, I don't know the question that prompted it.
7-year deal.
Okay. I don't know the question that prompted it. Don't care. He could have said it. He said, oh no, I'm going to retire in Baton Rouge. I'm going to be a lifelong Louisianan, and everybody's going to love me. We're going to win so much, they build a statue to me. He's going to get killed for it either way.
True.
But to go back at the end and be like, you know, at the end, they made him retire. No, they didn't.
Yikes.
Greg Byrne didn't force Nick Saban to retire. I
Nope.
promise you.
Don't think that happened. Yeah.
Nick Saban is like the biggest power megalomaniac you've ever seen in your life. He would have coached until he dropped dead if that's what he wanted to do. Nick Saban saw the changes in the game and the level playing field that was coming and was already, like, in place and being tamped down. And he said, no, I'm out. I've done enough. I'm out. That was lie number one. You ready for lie number two?
Yes.
John Sumrall, quote, I would have stayed at Tulane and not taken any other job, end quote, in reference to if Florida had not allowed him, or any other team would not have allowed him, to coach Tulane in the playoff. I was not going to leave a team playing for a championship to go coach another team. That's not in my DNA. So you wouldn't have taken the Florida job if it meant coaching one more game with Tulane. Now, let's also understand that later in the day, he comments on the playoff, and he's like, are there really two deserving G5 teams every year? I'm not really sure there are. It's like he understands the gap between the two. So really, you wouldn't have taken an SEC job if it meant just not coaching one more game with Tulane? I don't buy it. It sounds nice, Zach. It sounds noble.
Yeah, this one I'm hesitant on because that actually wouldn't shock me. I'm also trying to think about the timeline. And it's such a weird, like, why would Florida do that? Like, it's such a ridiculous thing. And they both kind of leaned into it. Both, you know, he changed his, you know, profile stuff to like half Tulane, half Florida and all that. But
yeah,
I mean, you're probably right. You're probably right. Like, if Florida said, nope, this is it, because I mean, he thought like originally it was Auburn, right? And then it kind of pivoted to Florida. Like, he may not have had many other options as far as, you know, SEC stuff goes. So
So you're not gonna take a job that's three times the salary you're making or four.
Yeah,
times
I don't know if that was
now.
Laughable. But yeah. I do like the Lane Kiffin one is. But
yeah,
you're probably right.
All right. That's lie number two. Lie number three, Kirby Smart. Kirby Smart talking about his biggest concern for our sport. Okay. Biggest concern. It's not how athletes are affected by the transfer portal, right? Here's his biggest concern is that we're going to ruin all the other sports. He says, we fund Olympic sports with our program. We develop Olympians. We go to class with people that go throw a javelin. I still think the best thing for a young student is to get a degree and train to be a professional while also training to be a professional athlete. Both of those, we're going to lose that if we keep spending, because not everybody can spend at the rate we're spending.
Wow. I mean, how noble
so
is Kirby Smart?
Kirby Smart, who makes $13, $15 million a year. Yeah. Yeah. $15 million a year salary. He's concerned that if we keep spending, we're going to hurt the other sports. Now, when he made $6 million a year, he wasn't concerned about hurting the other sports. When he made $9 million a year, he wasn't concerned about hurting the other sports. Now we're spending so much that his main concern, biggest concern, is that we're going to hurt the Olympic sports. Gosh, what a nice guy he is. What a good guy.
Yeah, incredibly... incredibly selfless. No, I would argue that they are trending up. I think some of that has to do with the evolution of media has gotten more and more niche. So it's like, if you care about track and field, you have more access to track and field coverage than you ever have. But I mean, not an Olympic sport, but that he's referring to, but the state of college baseball has never been better.
Yeah.
It's never been better. College softball seems to absolutely be on fire right now. And then you look at, the Auburn fan base supporting Auburn golf and, the women's tennis program that competed for a national championship. And I've also seen a bunch of stories about these elite track athletes who were able to do more because they're able to sign with Nike or Adidas or, these national brands like Olympians do. So, I don't think what he's saying is true.
Do you think? Yeah, I don't think it's true on either level. I don't think the Olympic sports are being threatened by how much football is spending. And I don't think it's anywhere. I don't think he's concerned about it at all. I think it makes a noble talking point. That's it. It's
what
a noble
guy. What a nice guy.
Man, what a leader of just young people, Kirby Smart.
I expect him to do his part and to attend all of Georgia sports.
Sure.
This athletic year. That's what I'm expecting.
He's going to be at those soccer matches on Friday night instead of out recruiting. because
right. I mean, because his sport is the one threatening that program. Right. That's right.
That's right. And if you're threatening those other programs, the least you could do is go support them.
Yeah. Show up. Absolutely. Buy something at the concession stand.
Yeah.
Buy a Georgia soccer shirt. Yeah. Why not?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. It's not a lot of other things within his program that could be concerning. I won't go down that road.
You know, if he's probably going to get there pretty quickly, which is
there.
Good.
Yeah, there you go. There you go. Depending on who is. Yeah,
driving.
Depending on who his ride is to get there.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. So they keep sleeping on. That's three lies. Here's the truth that I thought was fantastic. Alex Golish yesterday was asked about his opinion on the playoff. He continues to show unbelievable awareness. He's the most aware coach we've ever seen at these meetings.
Yeah, the humility of him saying they don't care what I have to think.
Yeah.
And that's not my job to fix it. I actually thought a lot of people were going to take his quote out of context. And I'm really glad that they didn't, because
yeah.
His quote says the CFP is the last thing he's thought about, you know, since he's been the head coach at Auburn. And then he continues to go on and say, like, now I'm focused on, you know, how we can, you know, achieve excellence and get there and compete to be there. So I'm actually really surprised nobody took that middle part out of context, which would objectively be funny. But Brad, I finished watching that clip and then I watched it again because it's so refreshing to have like a normal human being.
Yeah.
Talk at the podium.
Yeah.
And once again, like, just because it's different doesn't mean it's going to be better. Right. But this is very clearly different.
Yeah.
Previous head coach would have just gone out there and, you know, spewed nonsense for 4 or 5 minutes about his opinion or whatever. And like, I'm sure behind closed doors, they're asking Alex Golish his opinion. Maybe he may not give it then either.
I mean,
he seems remarkably consistent.
Yeah.
No matter what he does. And so, and say they don't care. And look, I haven't been here long enough for my opinion to matter.
Yeah.
And he's like, I hope one day, you know, we keep winning and all of a sudden it begins to matter a little bit more. But right now, like, I've been here 5 minutes.
Yeah.
And, you know, he said a similar thing to reporters at the Senior Bowl in Mobile a few months ago. And once again, like, he's remarkably consistent and remarkably aware.
Yeah.
With whatever he does, which is so incredibly refreshing.
He's so consistent. It's genuine.
Correct.
You know what I mean? Like, you believe it because it can't be any other way because it's so consistent.
Right.
And I love that you bring up the follow up was that, yeah, hopefully if I'm here, like if we win enough, then what I say will matter because that's how you earn your voice. That's how you earn your voice. Contrast that with the John Sumrall who was, you know, complaining about the 9-game SEC schedule. I haven't heard Alex Golish complain about that one time.
No, because Alex Golish is like, what I say doesn't matter.
Yeah.
I literally signed up for this.
Yeah.
This rule was in place and coming when I took the job. Why would you complain about it? That's exactly what he would tell his players.
Yeah.
That's exactly, be who you say you are, baby. And Alex Golish is living that.
The idea is that the exact quote from Sumrall was that the coaches felt misled because if they agreed to a 9-game schedule, they were told the playoff was going to expand to at least 16. So now that it hasn't, they feel misled. Like, man, you've been there 6 months.
Yeah, you weren't even there, dude.
Misled? Just go win games and then win games and earn a voice. Just like Alex Golish is talking about. And then my favorite quote, when he was talking about how coaches have a say or ask their opinion on a lot of stuff that they don't really have a say in. And the opposite is true. They don't get asked about the stuff that they actually do have something to do with. The exact quote was, "The actual practitioners of the day-to-day have the least say in anything." I thought that was a phenomenal, savvy, wise, aware quote. That's the case in every, like, that extends beyond college athletics. That's true in life.
That's life. Yeah, the folks that are doing a lot of the work in whatever organization or business you're in. That's how it is.
Yep. Yeah. How often does management go ask the factory workers what kind of machinery would help them be more efficient? They don't. They just go, here's a brand new machine. You should thank us.
Yeah.
And then they leave them with it. And it doesn't matter how inefficient it is for 2 weeks. Figure it out. Figure it out.
The good ones do, but not everyone does.
But not everybody. You're right. You're exactly right. So, yeah, I thought you saw a lot of, there was so much talking. And then Golish goes on the Paul Feinbaum show in the afternoon and says, I thought they were going to have everything figured out day one down here. And I'm your last guest of the day and nothing's solved yet, which is fantastic.
Yeah.
So people keep sleeping on Alex Golish's experience or readiness for the SEC. Can we talk about that after we tell people about buyauburn.com?
Yes.
Buyauburn.com is going to connect Auburn businesses to Auburn fans, and it's going to connect Auburn fans to Auburn businesses. There's two really streets to drive on this at a reasonable rate of speed. If you are a consumer and you're looking for Auburn businesses, go to buyauburn.com, search by category. You're going to find a big list there, and likely you're going to find exactly what you need from an Auburn business. The second street here is if you're an Auburn business and you reach Auburn people, reach out to us on social media. We'll tell you how, and I think we still have some spots available for folks to get a
I think we've got like three or four more spots.
Okay. So you can join buyauburn.com and be listed there and do it for half the cost of a typical year. Pretty inexpensive anyway when you consider what this is. But we're going to give you a 50% discount. Reach out to Zach or me individually on social media, and we'll get you set up with that. Buyauburn.com.
Also want to make sure y'all check out AUShirts.com. Mm-hmm. Kyle's got some more Boog designs up there. So we've had a handful of people order the new Boog hats.
Yes.
As well as you saw it last Friday. I was wearing the hoodie for... I don't super care, quoting Alex Golish, right? The authentic and honest Alex Golish. And I think like 10 of y'all ordered one on Friday, which is super, super fun. So we've got that design as well
We've got the
Mantis design as well. If you're excited about the addition of, you know, Auburn's newest, newest big man / forward. So there's a lot of fun stuff over at AUShirts.com.
You're talking about the late Lou Holtz's favorite basketball player? Mantis.
How would he talk about this shirt, Bradlaugh?
Oh, it's you know what? It's light and comfortable, and it's comfortable fabric, and it's a fantastic design. You're going to turn some heads when you wear this shirt. Mantis Roostovicius.
Thank you, Coach. Thank you.
No problem. So the first question that Golish was asked yesterday was about a welcome to the SEC. Did you pay attention to his answer?
I didn't spend a lot of time on that one.
What was your welcome to the SEC moment? And I thought he's very intentional about everything he does. And he said, yeah. So my welcome back to the SEC moment was probably day one when he goes on to talk about how every recruiting battle is just gloves off. And
yeah,
but it wasn't a welcome to the SEC moment. It was a welcome back to the SEC moment. He's been in the league. He's been in the league at a high level. He's handled a lot of recruiting in the SEC. He's gone against SEC defensive coordinators. He's game planned for tough environments with world-class athletes and to go against world-class athletes. And I think a lot of people nationally are still talking about Alex Golish like some upstart from Tampa that walked in the doors at South Florida and was given his first coaching job as the head coach at South Florida and doesn't have these two decades of experience at these other places, including years coordinating the biggest like offensive turnaround in Tennessee football history.
Yeah.
And I say, good. Keep doing it. Keep sleeping on that. Keep when you think of Alex Golish, please keep thinking of a Group of Five coach who's done nothing else ever.
I also love that he doesn't let people get away. Like he's correcting them. Well, my welcome back moment was much like when he was asked the question from the Alabama report at the golf tournament, like, well, this team hasn't played Bama. So I love that he's not taking it.
Yeah.
And I think that's what, I mean, I think we all agree that that's what this program needs. Like, I mean, well, I just think back once again, like, it's different. Doesn't always mean it's better, but like, Hugh Freeze was asked that too, right?
Yeah.
And he didn't correct them as like, you know, well, it's my welcome back moment or whatever. So I just think, I mean, we see teams take on the personality of their head coach, of their quarterback, of their leaders. And you've just got leadership at the top of this program now that's not going to take crap from anybody.
Yeah,
I just feel like we've been taking crap from people for a long time. Yeah. And Alex Golish just isn't going to deal with that. And the players see that. And if they're like, oh, well, if coach isn't taking crap, like, I don't have to either. Let's go bust some heads in and let's win some football games.
Yeah.
I think that stuff's important, Brad. I don't think it's just interesting. I think it's important.
I agree with you. It's a very Auburn thing to just take it, isn't it? For a long time. It's
become
been
that way. It's become that way for sure.
Yeah.
I mean, we've had these super, like, we've had good coaches, don't get me wrong, but, like, extremely passive.
Yeah.
I mean, Gus Malzahn, I think, was a heck of a football coach. And now that I think his, you know, he's retired, I think we actually realize, like, how impressive what he did during that stretch, what it actually was. But he was incredibly passive, right? Like, he wasn't going to be this coach that came up and just talked smack at the podium. Brian Harsin had some of that. It just, he didn't have all of it, but I think that's who he wanted to be. He just didn't pull it off. And obviously Hugh Freeze was not that. So
Harsin didn't have the substance to back it up. There wasn't.
Right. He wanted to, you know, like, they came at me and it didn't work. Like, I remember his second SEC media days. It was electric. It was absolutely electric, but there's no follow through. Sadly, Golish is going to have to follow through. And I also don't think he's putting on an act, too. Like, I think Harsin, you know, when he got to the podium, he was trying to, like, put on an act a little bit of, I'm this tough guy, you came at me, it didn't work. Golish is doing this, like, I don't even think he's really trying that hard.
No.
I think this is just who he is.
Again, again, he does it so consistently that, okay, it's an identity.
Yeah.
That's just who he is. It's an effortless identity. You know, if you just are who you are, it's pretty effortless.
Yeah.
And I think that's what you're seeing.
Yep.
Okay, one last thing. Oh. Okay. I knew this was coming. I didn't know it was going to get released today.
Oh.
But I'm just seeing now the Alabama. Oh, this is cool. The Alabama Broadcasters Association is set to induct three broadcasters into the Hall of Fame at its 80th anniversary reception in Auburn, including the voice of Auburn Athletics, Andy Burcham. Alabama Broadcasters Hall of Fame. That's fantastic news.
That's really cool.
That is fantastic news. There is nobody who cares about his work more. Cares about the quality of his work.
And Andy Burcham.
More than Andy Burcham.
That's awesome.
That's really great.
That is great. I the absolute pro. So when I got hired full time to the Auburn Network out of college, I essentially was like, I was there the same time as Andy, like, we overlapped about 6 months before he went to, you know, be full-time with Auburn. But just what I learned in those 6 months, Brad, as far as learning under him, as far as, like, how to prepare for a show, you know, what to do when you're doing a broadcast on site and all the things that go along with that, how to prepare for everything. Yeah. What if this goes wrong? Then what do you do? Like, he thinks of everything.
Yeah.
And it shows. And it shows when the mics come on. So.
How many corners did you see him cut during that time?
Not
one time, did you? Not one time.
Not even on a backup option where I'm like, it probably won't even happen. He's like, but what if it does? I remember clear as day. He like looked at me. He's like, but what if it does? I'm like, I guess we should fix it then. So yeah, I mean, absolute pro. No one more deserving. Congrats, Andy. That's awesome.
That's awesome. Yeah. Alabama Broadcasters Association Hall of Fame, Andy Burcham. Congratulations to the voice of the Tigers on that. We could tell a couple of Andy stories.
I don't think he would like that.
No, I don't mean – no, they're good stories, and which is probably right. He doesn't
– No, I think good or funny, I don't think he would like that.
No, you're probably right, and so I'm going to tell at least one. So I know we got to get out of here, but what people don't know about Andy is that, like, for a long time, when you talked about going to work for the Auburn Network, he hosted – for people who don't live in Auburn, okay, and aren't familiar – on the local news talk radio station, he hosted a morning show for, 15 years, probably, or more.
I think it was 12.
It was 12 years. So for a dozen
Auburn
years.
Auburn O'Blanca this morning.
Yep. There you go. Every morning he hosted this show. He might have done a women's basketball game the night before at Texas A&M, but he was hosting the morning show the next day. Mayors, city council people, school board folks, local businesses, everybody.
And that show is a tank. Like that show is so – I did that show for 3 years. That's the show I did before I went into podcasting full time. And that – I don't know how he did that for 12 years. And I never called games the night before. Like I can't imagine doing that with the way he did it.
And like at the beginning of it, he had somebody doing news for him and all this. And there were stretches, though, where he didn't. He put together the news sound. Look, and there were sound bites to every story. He did a long sports report. I'm telling you, the amount of work this guy would do every single morning before most people were ever out of bed would shock you. Again, no more deserving, no better work ethic. Again, nobody cares about the quality of the broadcast more than The Voice. And so congratulations, Andy Burcham, Alabama Broadcasters Hall of Fame. That's awesome.
Incredible. That's great. That's
right. I can't wait to go see him. He's like on the other side of the wall right now.
He's the other side of that wall, right?
Yeah. All right.
That's all I got for today's show.
Thanks, everybody, for watching. Thanks for listening. Please subscribe. Remember, until next time, everyone has vices. Make sure Village Vice is one of yours.